as Pastor Mike Sproul as the pastor. Believe me, my wife and I work with a bunch of churches across the country and really around the world, and there are a lot of churches that need pastors. And what a blessing that God put Pastor Sproul here for you guys. He's only been here since, what, March?
6 months.
Oh, you just got here then. Wow, you guys are getting to know each other, and that'll take a while. But, you know, God is in control, isn't he? He's above all things. He's a sovereign God, a providential God. He sees things before they happen, and we can rejoice in that. Think about a Bible verse, and then we'll pray. The Bible verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I'll start it. If you can help me finish it, here it is. Faithful is he that what? Calleth. Faithful is he that calleth you, comma, who also will what?
Do it.
Do it. I love that verse. It tells me that God does call us. Of course, there was a day when by grace he opened your heart to your need to be saved, and you chose to receive Jesus and gave you eternal life. And then as a believer, he has his will for all of us, one step at a time, and he calls us to what? Read Scripture. He calls us to pray without ceasing. He'll give us grace to do it. He calls us to get the gospel to every creature. He'll give us grace to do it. I can tell you in my short lifetime, Friday was my birthday, September the 10th. I was 71, and my wife's here somewhere. She's 39. No, I'm just kidding. She's a little older than that. And we have enjoyed our brief journey together, been married 48 years in ministry the whole time. And I can tell you by looking back, God has been good. He'll call us to do different things at different times of our ministry, whether it be plant a church from scratch or help a church that's maybe in transition. God called us. And in every situation, if we could manage to do right and obey God, in that situation, God would provide wonderfully to help us do whatever he called us to do. Now, really, that's what this little slide deals about this morning, this little report I'm going to give to you. It's all about God calling and God doing the work. Every good, every perfect gift comes from him. And I told Claudia the other day, you know, as I present this to some of our supporting churches, I kind of feel like I'm bragging, you know, like pride, because God has been so good. But then God said, well, I gave you what you needed to do what I called you to do. So go ahead and bring glory to my name by bragging about me, about God, and what God has done through ministry. And of course, what God can do as we continue to do right. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Lord, thank you that we can be here today. Thank you, Lord, that you know all about us. I don't really know these folks in this room. Most of them don't know their background, their needs right now. I don't know what some of them may be struggling with. I don't know what you have prepared for each one of the days ahead, but I'm grateful, Father, that you know and you are in control. And I'm thankful that as you call us to do various ministries for you, you give us the grace. I pray that you'll let us be aware of your presence here today as we talk about your goodness and what you have done, and then as we study the word together in morning service. You know our needs. We pray you'll meet those needs for your glory, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's me up there on the screen. I'm the one on the right with the beard. You see, my last name is Barba. Anybody know Spanish? La Barba? Strange law. It's feminine. I don't know why they made it feminine, but that happened in some of these languages. La Barba means the beard. The beard. And that word in Spanish is used even interchangeably for a barber, somebody that cuts hair. Barba is purely Italian. My grandfather came right from Naples, and I won't tell you my wife's history, but my wife is Claudia, and we have been married 48 years now in ministry the entire time. It's kind of hard to read it, but those red words say Press On Ministries. That's the name of our ministry. We've called it that for a number of years, and it tells you what we do. We help plant churches. That's our primary responsibility, to help start churches from scratch in the U.S. and even other countries. Our home church, you see, is Burge Terrace Baptist Church, Independent Baptist Church in Indianapolis. Our pastor is Todd Curtis, and we're not the greatest church members because we're just really never there. We're always somewhere else. Folks, there always seems to be a church or a pastor somewhere that needs help. We have a house, I think, in East Tennessee. It's up on the Cumberland Plateau between Knoxville and Nashville, right off of I-40, and we get to go there probably twice a year just to check it out and be there and take a break. And then we're usually back on the road helping either start a church from scratch or assisting churches in other ways. My pastor, Todd Curtis, said, you know, Brother Barba, I know you're not here every Sunday, but just keep sending your tithe every night.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're getting down to a level here where most of us Baptist preachers exist. So praise the Lord for that. Quick overview of the life of Dave and Claudia and what God has been so good to do. When we finished school back in 1970 or so, 73, we got married. 1 year later, we planted our first church. We've been at church planting our entire ministry. This church is Falls Baptist Church of Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. We started from a couple of families. God did some wonderful things. We were there 12 years. God built the church. Our three kids were born there. And we just had a wonderful time. But I tell you what, most of the time, I had an itch. And that itch was to preach the Word of God. I love to preach. I wanted to do it every night. And I even told the church that early on in the history of that church. And an evangelist friend of mine, Bill Hall, said, Brother Dave, what you need to do, go out and take some meetings around the country and see how you get, you know, test the water. I did that. And when I would come back, I'd say, folks, I don't want to do this. I miss my family. I have to leave them to do this. So it took 12 years for God to very clearly say, leave the church, resign, help them find a new pastor first, and don't leave them without a shepherd. Pick him yourself if you have to. That's what Dr. B. Myron Cedarholm told me, Brother Dave, you pick your successor, do it. You know, I don't know if I'll do that, but I helped him and God led. We found a pastor. His name is Wayne Van Gelder, Jr., and he's been there since we left in 1986. And we left in 86, hit the road, sold our stuff, bought a big giant fifth-wheel trailer 40 feet long, and we pulled it cross-country many times, preaching in churches. We'd have what we call, whatever we call them, revival meetings, and start on Sunday, preach through Friday night. Do children's meetings, do music, preach the gospel, preach in camps. We had a wonderful time. Those about 8.5, 9 years or so on the road in itinerant evangelism. By the way, Falls Baptist Church, called me on Friday. One of the staff members said, Brother Dave, whatever you do, set aside 2024 because we want to have you and Claudia back. You've founded the church and we'll have the 50th anniversary. Amen. That will be exciting, and I look forward to it. They gave me this cool watch on the 40th anniversary, and it still works. 50th, I'm expecting, I don't know.
Sundial?
Yeah. Yeah, the thing goes around. It's got these little numbers on it. Yeah, well, that's okay, whatever. Now, in 1995, God began to press me as an evangelist, and he said, you know, Dave, evangelists in the New Testament, they don't just travel and preach. They also plant churches. And God led us to cancel, I guess we canceled 30 or 40 meetings, and we, those guys are still our friends, I hope, and we went off the road and planted another church. And that church, as you can see, Trinity Baptist, Franklin, Tennessee, that is a suburb of Nashville. And Nashville has over 800 or so Baptist churches, and it was not an easy place to plant a church. God did it. We started from scratch. We were there for 6 years, bought land in really the most affluent county in the state, and built the city, and we built a building, and they're going on for the Lord there. But after those 6 years, God led us to leave. You know, folks, those 6 years were the toughest 6 years in our ministry. You can ask Claudia, and she'll tell you, my husband David was kind of almost in another planet. I mean, I did what God called me to do, preached, won people to the Lord, built the building, etc. But they were tough. God used those hard years to put a burden in our hearts to help young couples in America plant churches. We knew it was difficult. We knew it was hard. And I was teaching a church planting class on the campus of Bob Jones University, I think in the year 2000. And I mentioned that to the guys. I said, you know what, guys? I'm getting calls now from men around the country who were saying, hey, Brother Dave, we know you planted this church and this church. We're going to plant a church in Las Vegas. Will you come help us? And I told the class, when those guys call me, I go to Claudia and I say, wish we could really help them. Wish we could just go throw up a tent, you know, and help them start the church and encourage them for a number of months. The teacher of that class, Dr. Bruce McAllister, came to me after the class and he said, Dave, you want to do what you're talking about. It needs to be done. We prayed about it. God made it clear. And we hit the road in 2001 as deputating missionaries. Now, keep in mind, folks, as I say all this, faithful is he that called you who also will do it. God uses sometimes hard times. I mean, I talked to someone just last week before we left our home, and she was facing difficult trials. And I said to her, I know life is tough, but I know you're a child of God. And remember, you can be in the will of God and not be happy. You know, you'll have joy, underlying joy. You know that no matter what happens, you'll be with the Lord forever. But you may not be happy with the circumstances. You just keep doing the will of God, and God will use that trial to draw you close to himself, to open right doors and to expand your ministry in life. I've seen God do that again and again. 2001, went on the road, traveled around the country, telling men that we knew and other churches what God had called us to do. And God helped us pretty quickly to gather up the support we needed to help young couples plant churches. So we hit the road and began to do that. And we've been doing that ever since. For years, we used a method called the phone is for you. And what that means is, young couple would say, Dave, we'll plant a church here in Seattle. So we'd move our fifth wheel there, and we'd build a team to make telephone calls. And we'd get on the phone. You remember those things you pick up, they had kind of a handle, you put it to your ear? That's called a phone. And some of you remember, you'll, that's a long time ago, you know. But anyway, we would make anywhere from 25, maybe to 30,000 telephone calls in 4 weeks. We'd work probably 4 hours a day. It was hard work. We were not like telemarketers. We were low-key. We just tell folks, hey, we're starting a church here in Seattle. It's going to be in April the 2nd. Can we send you some stuff about the church? Some people would say no. Most of them would say no. Some of them would say yes. And we'd find out that if we'd made 30,000 telephone calls, we'd have maybe 1,200 families who would say, 1,200 folks who would say, yes, send us mail. We'd send them carefully designed direct mail about the new church. The week before the grand opening, we get on the phone, the whole team, call them all back, remind them, have a grand opening service. We did that for years, and it worked. We would have grand opening services from anywhere from 60 to 100, 200 people at opening service of a new church. And then, of course, we'd go from there. Claudia and I would stay for a number of months. I'd do the music for them, knock on doors, win people to Christ, do discipleship, have fellowship with the pastor and his wife. Then we hit the road and go start another one. And we did that with the phones for you for a number of years. This is some states in which we have helped plant independent Baptist churches. And there are probably some more we could add to that if we keep that a little bit more up to date. These churches are in different levels. Some of them are still in temporary locations, like a school. Some of them are in leased storefronts, you know, a leased suite, and they're growing. Some of them are building buildings. As I speak right now, I can tell you the number, Tucson, Chicago, and they're working on land and building buildings. Churches are going on for the Lord. Amen. Something we never realized until we started doing this is that when we pull out of the parking lot after spending 6 months with a group of people and starting a church, we're heart tied into those people. And we think about them, pray for them, have continuing input, maybe go back occasionally and have a revival meeting, a short meeting, and of course, available on the phone to talk to the pastors whenever they might have a need. Just some photographs of some of the church plants. This one up here, this lady in the middle, she's in a wheelchair. Grand opening service, we'd always give them free lunch, of course. And at the lunch of this grand opening church in Alabama, I noticed this lady in the wheelchair. She was having her little goodies. I sat down and talked to her. She received Christ right there. And her adult sister also got saved. We baptized her in a YMCA pool with that machine that would drop her down into the water. And since, she's gone on to be with the Lord. And that church is doing well. In fact, that's one of our supporting churches. Over here, we have, Apple Valley, California. A great church plant. Apple Valley is the upper desert. You know that, you know, high desert. It's where the movie stars used to go from L.A., Hollywood, to kind of recreate. What's his name? Roy Rogers and Dale Evans are buried there. I don't know where Trigger is, but they're buried there. And he's just somewhere. I know it. Maybe he's a white horse. Who knows? You know? We could start a cult here today, couldn't we? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. I'm planning this church. One of the ladies in that church plant owned the home that used to belong to Lawrence Welk. And so it was an interesting church plant. It was great. We had folks get saved. And that church, they built a building now. They're doing well. They're going on for the Lord. Down in the bottom, a church in Alabama. I won't tell you a whole story. It'd take too much time. On the right, church in Tennessee. Beautiful building. We were there not long ago for their anniversary. They are doing well. They're also near Nashville, pretty difficult area, but needy area. This is pretty important for right now, I would say. Pastor, what time should I stop? I had an hour or two, so how many time?
I usually stop way late, so if you want them to begin.
Yeah, I did want
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Good. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. These folks are lined up. Yeah, right. We'll be done by Tuesday, I promise. You see up here, this, here, where's this machine? Here we go. These folks just got baptized. There's the pastor in the middle. His name is Tim Sneeden. This is a church Carney and I helped plant in 2010. It is in San Diego. And I led this lady to the Lord after a fellowship potluck we had. Potlucks are evangelistic tools. If you kind of watch, look around, see, you know, maybe somebody that's here heard the gospel. We led this man to the Lord after the first service. He now, I think, moved to Texas. I led this lady to the Lord going through the exchange. You ever heard of the exchange? It's a soul winning tool by Jeff Musgrave. Roots in this area. But anyway, Tim Sneeden, 5 years after we helped him plant the church, he had a heart attack and died. And he's in glory. I look forward to seeing him. And they got a new pastor, David Kahiwak, little Filipino-type guy, extreme runner. He'd run 100 miles, and I'm not sure the whole point of that, but he would do that. And anyway, David just had a heart attack. Pastor just mentioned that. This is who he's talking about. Had a heart attack maybe 6 weeks ago. Tomorrow, he's having a quadruple bypass. So Claudia and I are en route right now to Anchor Baptist Church, it is called now, in San Diego, where I will fill in for him, preach all the messages, etc., for I don't know how long. He's supposed to recover by the end of November, and we'll see, one day at a time. So it would be our privilege to help those folks. Hollister, California, earthquake capital of California, and that's the what we call a neighborhood barbecue. This is a great evangelistic outreach. What you do, you say, in my neighborhood, I'm burdened for my neighbors, and so I'm going to let them know we're going to have a neighborhood barbecue. It's free. We'll feed you, have games for the kids if they want to play, and good time to have it really is Sunday night. You know, you don't got to be here at church. Well, you come, but the rest of folks are there having a barbecue. And when the neighbors come, you don't really preach to them. In fact, you don't really even witness to them unless God truly opens the door. You just make a connection. You just let them know that you're their friend, you're their neighbor, you care about them. Maybe you'll end up talking about their favorite hobby, but you're just connecting with them. And then there are ways you can follow them up. And of course, your goal is to see them come into the building and give them the gospel and see them come to Christ. It's just one of the wonderful outreaches that God can use. Tucson Church, we've helped over the years, and they're right now raising money to build a building on land they have purchased. They don't always dress like that. They have cowboy hats and stuff. But every year they have a rodeo day. You see, if you really want to fulfill a great commission, you do more than talk about it. And you do more than have soul winning classes. That's good. You need to do that. But you think. You just think, what can I do that would pique the interest of folks in my community so I can, with the power of the Holy Spirit, give them the word of God, give them the gospel. They have a rodeo day. And Claudia and I were there helping them. I played my banjo and my guitar, sang some funny songs, made a connection, and it was a great day. And they do that every year as an outreach. Only time we've gone to help an overseas ministry since we've been doing this since 2001. Pastor in Antigua, great guy. Tremendous expository preacher, balanced guy, said, Dave, I can tell you 10 independent Baptist churches planted by good missionaries. These guys are zealous, but they need encouragement. They need some little bit more theological depth. Will you come and help us? So Claudia and I went there, Antigua, and we were there, I think, almost 6 months. We helped them start. We laid the groundwork for a Bible Institute train those guys. I preached 10 different meetings, had a wonderful time there in Antigua. And believe me, folks, Antigua is not what you hear on TV. You know, if you guess the right word, then you and the spouse or friend of your choice will be whisked away to the beautiful island of Antigua, where we have 365 beaches. And well, there are beaches. But when you drive away from the exterior after landing, you find it's almost third world. It is almost third world. And they are suffering there. It's difficult for them even now. Part of our ministry is to think about any way we can use our short life to get the gospel to every creature. One way is through writing. And we're working at writing all the time, especially my wife. Now, that's my book there up there on the left, Press On. And it's a book of encouragement, 10 chapters, how to conquer loneliness and temptation and how to understand what real success is. Claudia wrote the 10th chapter in that book. It's called Press On, You Can. Easy to read. I had a preacher from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, call me, Brother Norris, and he said, Brother Dave, I read your book on the airplane. And I thought, well, that says something about the depth of it if you read the whole thing on the airplane, you know. And he says, I'm going to have a big fellowship, Southwide Baptist Fellowship, have hundreds of preachers. Will you send me? I want to buy a couple of hundred of those books. So I just doubled the price, and then I sent it to him. Send him a bill. Great. And that's how we got our Porsche. Yeah, you know, there are things in evangelism. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, folks. I shouldn't kid too much with strangers. That's why not. I discovered years ago my major spiritual gift is offending people. What's so funny? Good. Somebody's got to do it. You know, it's fun. So anyway, this is one of Claudia's books, Monday Morning Club. And ladies, trust me, you need to get that. You will laugh. You will cry. You'll be challenged spiritually. Claudia started the Monday Morning Club, which was a Monday morning email that she sent to pastors' wives. She started it when we first went on the road to help churches. She discovered that pastors are the unsung heroes of a local church. Nobody can really understand what the pastor's wife faces unless they live in her household or walk in her moccasins, you might say. So Claudia said, David, maybe I can send out a little email my pastor's wife's friends and encourage them on Monday morning. She started that. And it began to spread. And it began to go to missionaries around the world. And after some years, somebody said, why don't you print that and put it in a book? And you'll read anecdotes about things that happened to us on the road in evangelism and insight into simply saying, Lord, whatever you call me to do, give me grace to do it. So that's a devotional book. Claudia has written a number of Bible study books for ladies. And this is a list of those books. Those first ones are published by Bob Jones University Press. And the last one there, They Saw the Invisible. That's her recent one on Hebrews 11. It's exciting. The Heroes of the Faith, Hall of Fame of Faith. And we kind of self-did that ourselves because everybody's doing it now on Amazon and CreateSpace. It's a lot easier than having a real publisher do it. I love music. I have always music somehow in my head. Right now as I'm talking to you, I've got a secret microphone here and I'm listening to Vivaldi's Concerto in A minor. And over here, it's the Grand Canyon Suite. I grew up in classical music, playing the violin, and I love to sing. And that's my CD in the middle, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, just me doing the singing. It's fully orchestrated, studio produced, traditional hymns you've heard. And except for a song I wrote called about soul winning, and been using it for years. And when we went back on the road to help churches in 2001, we improved it, technology. You know, we had it digitally remastered. And we took off my voice and put on George Beverly Shea. He's great. I love it. Get that. Let me tell you, when we hit the road in evangelism so many years ago, we left Menominee Falls, after we'd been on the road for a few months, I had a tape table. All evangelists do this. You know, they sell ties that flash on and off, repent, and send me money. And God said, Dave, if you're really going to trust me, and we were living simply on love offerings, whatever people put in the plate. If you're going to trust me, take the profit from that tape table and use it to go to the mission field. And I struggled with it a couple of weeks, and then I just gave up and said, yes, Lord, I'll do it, and we did it. And God used the income from that tape table to take us as a family to, Germany, and London, and Puerto Rico, and Jamaica, and Russia, Moldova, Hungary, Pécs, Hungary, Togo, Africa. And you see, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it.
Amen.
And we didn't have a day when we were worried about stuff. Now, we're both very frugal. And Claudia grew up in a pastor's home. Her dad was Dr. Otis Holmes, who led the church planting program at Bob Jones for a number of years, planted churches all of his life. So we're careful. But we never had a time, what are we going to do? We can't pay the bills. We're going to have to do this. No, God called us, and God provided. And that's a testimony of a powerful God that we serve. A God who is jealous and anxious to get the gospel around the world. And he'll give us open doors and ways to do that if we'll trust him. Now we do more than help young couples plant churches. That's my favorite thing. But I'm telling you, folks, in the last 5 or 6 years, that's waned. And we don't know a lot of young couples who are saying, let's plant a church. I'm really not sure why. Maybe it's the age and they're not excited about living by faith. So we'll assist a church that's maybe moved into a new building. They need to have a new, new footprint or new, a logo, a new name in the area. So we'll help them send out mail. We'll knock on doors. We'll do thousands of door hangouts. We'll use EDDM, Every Door Direct Mail. We'll use targeted Facebook ads. If we can, we'll get on the radio. If we could afford it, we'll have a billboard. And we've done all those things. Depends on the church. And we'll help them move into that new building. That's a great opportunity to see new folks come in the community. Maybe they get a new pastor. We've done that a couple of times. we'd probably just have done that with churches that we already know them. And when Dave and Claudia come in, they're not strangers. So we know each other and we'll help them. The new pastor's there. He's the pastor. I'm just there to encourage, maybe do music, and spend a few months in that transition. Ailing pastor, that's what we're doing right now, headed to San Diego. Sometimes an absent pastor. We had the thrill and privilege of filling in for your pastor. He mentioned when he was deployed some years ago. Had a wonderful time there at that church in Chandler. And that's a honor and thrill to do that. Interim pastor. I have not officially done that, but I can almost guess that's on the horizon. There are so many churches of our stripe, solid fundamental churches, and they don't have a pastor. They need pastor. And that's an interim who will come in and help the church find the new pastor. And that's a calling and a gift and a skill. We helped Calvary Baptist recently in Cookeville, Tennessee, helped them find a pastor, spent a year to do that. And we visited that church last Sunday before we left our home in Crossville to come here, head to San Diego, and helped them make some changes. Often, our churches, we get so used to the plant, the building. By the way, you have a beautiful building. I love this auditorium. I like your mission board. I don't know who does that, but boy, that is so clear. And the letters are there. It's a blessing. That's important to me as a missionary, to know that if you ever get my newsletter, you're actually going to read it. You know, there I am on the bulletin board. But anyway, sometimes we get used to things and we miss improvements that need to be made in the plant and the way we do things. And we help churches do that sometimes when we help them in transition. When we planted Falls Baptist Church in 1974, I was 23 years old. And now that I'm 28, 23 years old, and started from scratch, within 2 weeks, God put me on the air. There was a man in the church, one of the first families. He was an attorney. He had done some work for VCY Ministry, which is tremendous radio ministry now. It's worldwide. And I was on the air as a kid preacher and pastor and had a wonderful time. I was 3 times a week, 5 to 5:15, that's drive time. God used that ministry on the air, and I was on the air for all 12 years. Folks would hear what I say, and they'd say, well, that guy's really strange. I want to go see what he looks like. And they'd come to the church, and some of them would stay, some of them wouldn't. Here we are many, many years later. And a couple of years ago, God used clear circumstances to say, hey, Dave, you need to get back on the radio. The technology is so powerful now. You can make radio broadcasts anywhere, you know, in a little room, if we have the right equipment. And the quality is such that they can be on the air if you have an outlet. We launched a radio ministry May the 2nd. It's just 15 minutes. That's all the time I really have to do it well. Once a week, it's on. And it's called Pressing On. The flagship network is VCY America. You can get their app if you want to do that. And they have 55 stations, FM stations, not AM stations, but FM stations. So they're very powerful. Audience is at least 11 million in the U.S. And they're the states they're in. Recently, they added San Francisco, Palm Springs, Las Vegas. And, of course, they're on the web. And that's one of the networks that I'm now on. And some others added when we started, Faith Music Missions Radio in Evansville, Indiana, like a local type. And then FBN, Fundamental Broadcasting Network. The guy that runs that, his name is Clyde Eborn. He's a pastor. When I was a kid in evangelism and traveling around the country, I preached a meeting for him, got to know him. He kept some of my CD sermons. He's been playing them on FBN for years. I called him up last year. Hey, Brother Eborn, give me some input. I'm thinking about going back on the air. And he said, sure, go ahead, Dave, get it done. And I said, Brother Eborn, I'm surprised you're alive. Woo, you're running the radio station? You're still the pastor of Grace Baptist Church there in North Carolina? How old are you? 91. 91. Faithful is who that called you, who also will do it. God knows how many days. Our days are numbered. But he's a great testimony. I love to call him and get encouraged. That means right now, today, my little 15-minute broadcast, and it's expositional studies. I'll go through topics, maybe topical exposition, but I'm almost always getting the gospel in. It'll be heard in a lot of places today, including Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Cameroon. It will be heard wherever God wants it to be heard. And I ask myself, how are they going to translate this? Well, English is spoken all over the world. And a sovereign God will lead the right person to hear the message at the right time. So I want you to at least remember to pray occasionally, if you will, for this ministry on the radio. Caribbean Radio Lighthouse there in Antigua, over 20 Caribbean islands. That's where we help men start that college and also preach for them. Harbor Light of the Windwards down on the south part of those Windward Islands, Leeward Islands in Caribbean. It's on there. If this interests you at all, there's my website. You can go in there and see some things about the ministry. I'm really not asking you to listen to the broadcast. You know why? You ought to listen to your pastor. I've spent my life, by the grace of God, seeking to build and encourage local churches. Radio broadcasters are pretty much a dime a dozen. They're out there. God led me to do it, and I prayed maybe somebody in a little village in India with a little transistor radio will hear the gospel, and I'll be able to preach to them and not have to be there. But primarily, you should get the voice of your pastor that God has called, and God will lead you. But I tell you what you can do. You can pray that God will direct the right people to hear that radio broadcast. It's not easy to do. I have faced satanic opposition in the last few years in some strange ways, and I'm convinced it's because God knows that this is at least another little voice that can be used to get the gospel around the world. Pray for us if you remember. There's my email. Send me an email and say hi, and listen to the broadcast, and say something really neat like, boy, that was the greatest broadcast I've ever heard in my entire life. I'll be praying about donating, and I will use that in my newsletter next year. No, I'm just kidding. But do pray. I know that broadcast is on at least 4 or 5 times a week, and that means it's on thousands of times of a week as you multiply the World Wide Web and the power of reaching the world with the gospel. I'm convinced that Apostle Paul was alive. He'd say, whew, I'm going to get on the air. I mean, it's kind of tough making these tents and traveling these synagogues and these churches and what I'm facing. I think I'm going to add radio and let God do the work. Our time is up. I'm 2 minutes over time. Does anybody have a quick comment or a question so we can go at least an hour over time? And we'll be a Baptist church. Anyone? Comment? Question? Father, we are grateful that as you call us, you'll give us grace to do whatever you call us to do. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here today is here because you are in control of all things and you have a reason for us to be here. I pray you'll use the word in the next service. Use music, use fellowship, casual conversation we have today to meet needs that ultimately your name will be glorified. If there's anybody here today without Christ, I pray they'll see their need and come to you and be born again. In Jesus' name I pray.